Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT Studios, overlooking Atlantic Station. Once again, the crew is in the building, SRT Crew. Sports Roundtable each and every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen to us on the dial, AM 1100, or you can go to srtradio.com if you want to check it out on the web. If you want to be a part of the show, please call 404-603-8770. And we got another banger. Thanks for tuning in. Last week, as we kicked off some still talking NBA last week, talked Melo and Paul George and all those things, and we will continue to do so. The NBA season is here, preseason that is. But hey, of course, I'm your host, HO from Bankhead. Got my main man, Hancock, sports superheroes in the building. And of course, Jay Smooth is in the building, our sixth man in the building tonight, filling in, of course, doing his thing. He gonna drop 20 tonight off the bench. And of course, my main man, G Money, behind the glass, dropping them beats. If you wondering who have those fantastic sounds and audio, it's my man, G Money. Got a guest in here tonight. And I told him that if you come down to the studio, I will mention your school. The hottest school in Tennessee right now, Austin Peay University, the Governors.
The Governors.
Three straight wins. After snapping a long, did I say long?
Long
losing streak. they broke their losing streak by beating 69-14.
They must have been pretty bad.
69-13.
Who was it?
Moorhead State.
Moorhead State.
Is that Phil Simms old school?
Yeah, it's Phil Simms old school.
Wow.
Hey, they had one of the most famous, Rod or Chance, whatever you want to say, in the history of college sports.
In the history.
Yeah, my man's name was Fly. Fly Williams.
That's
in the stands would say, "Fly's open. Let's go pee." Fly Williams.
There it is, man. You hearing it, baby. Hey, we got a great show for you tonight, man. We got some hot news. Y'all Facebook Live people, y'all hold on. We having some internet issues, but just hang with me. Some hot news coming up, and of course we got SRT College Football Power 10. My main man, Rain Man, will be calling in with his picks around 7:30. We got Ballers and Busters around 7:45. And then, of course, the second half of the show, we got that the awesome Sports Roundtable discussion where we're going to talk UGA, Falcons. I'm trying to figure out, are the Rams for real? KC for real? They both in first place. Derek Jeter finally gets his office in Miami. And we're going to break down the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure G-Money and Hancock like it. The Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. We're going to break that down and see what's going on and things of that nature. But right now, G, let's go ahead and kick it off with some hot news.
Hot news.
Blaze it. hot. This is why I'm hot. It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot News sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town and is verified. Trust me. Go to thebigeasygrill.com for the menus. And they also want me to mention, at least Jay Smooth said, please mention that po' boy, that shrimp po' boy. So yes. Please go on over to the Big Easy Grill. The shrimp po' boy is all the same, so is the shrimp. So, first question in the hot news, Hancock. UGA blows out Tennessee. They moved up to number 5. My question, can they actually compete with Alabama and Clemson, in your opinion?
Well, honestly, I don't think anyone can compete with Alabama, just to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think Alabama has set itself apart. Clemson, in recent years, has become, I guess, close to that level, you know, even coming through with a win last year against Bama in the title game. But as far as Georgia competing with them, I think Georgia's defense can compete with anyone in the NCAA. I'm not so sure about the offense because you cannot be one-dimensional when you come to playing Bama or Clemson in that respect. So, you know, if the offense continues to gel, we had a run game at Georgia, but I'm not sure that they're balanced enough passing-wise to really be on the level with Alabama and Clemson. But it's early yet. Let's see. It's early yet.
And they could possibly have quarterback controversy if...
Nah, that's from the outside. There's no controversy.
There's no controversy.
That kid is the quarterback, and I believe Eason transfers to Washington next year.
Ooh. Wow.
I think so. You know, that's where he's
from. That's where he's from.
And yeah. With Browning leaving, I think that's where he'll end up. He'll sit out next year.
Yeah.
You know, Browning will finish up his junior year, and I think then he'll, you know, be in line to maybe take over that program. But, I think the freshman Fromm has earned the job.
Yeah.
Going to South Bend, going into Tennessee, not blinking and winning those games. I think he solidified that job.
Man, we was talking about Jake Fromm.
Yep.
State Farm.
With two M's.
So definitely I agree with you. They definitely got to get better quarterback play,
more complete because he's being – he's doing what they're asking him to do.
Against those big teams, though.
Teams like Clemson and Alabama, he's going to have to do more than just manage the game. He's going to have to make a play every now and then.
Yeah, that's
what we're talking about.
Exactly. All right, question number 2. Jay Smooth, what are you looking forward to the most in this NBA season? They have obviously everyone has moved west.
Yep.
Definitely going to be hard for Mike Conley to make an all-star team now.
Definitely.
But
probably never.
Yeah, but with the improvement of Minnesota, OKC, then you got obviously everybody's looking forward to Golden State coming back, doing their thing. A lot of storylines. Kyrie moved to Boston. LeBron has set himself up really, really well with reuniting with D-Wade in Cleveland. Just what are you looking forward to the most this NBA season?
Well, I mean, for me, outside of the obvious, of course, I'm a Memphis native. And, you know, I would love to talk about my Grizzlies, but I actually wrote down 5 things that I'm looking forward to this season. So shout out to my Grizz, though, by the way. But for me, number 1 was actually Billy Donovan and Tyronn Lue. How will they both adjust to their new personnel? Kevin Love, he's playing center now. And OKC, of course, you're adding a couple 20-point scores in Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. So how is that going to work out? Another one for me is Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul is a dark horse MVP candidate. And I'm saying it this year, and I know Superhero probably won't agree with me, but I think Chris Paul is going to have a good year, and a lot of that is coming from Steve Nash and what he did under D'Antoni while he was in Phoenix. If Chris Paul can have a similar season, which I think he will, I expect Chris Paul to be a dark horse MVP candidate. And HM3, you took it out of my mouth. the Timberwolves, is this the year that they take that leap and become an elite team? They obviously have elite talent with Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, Jeff Teague, Andrew Wiggins, and did they add Jamal Crawford also?
Yeah,
Jamal Crawford. Yeah.
So they have elite talent, and you guys know they just changed the All-Star game format. When are they going to change the format to the playoff format to the best 16 teams? So
I don't think it's long. I think you're getting a dose of that with this All-Star reshuffling.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to kind of test that. That's kind of like the test balloon.
Right.
But, I just like that, there's going to be some teams left out that probably would have gotten into the playoffs. Like, now what's going to happen in that All-Star game? Because
exactly.
I mean, if you're taking the top 16 or the top players out of the East, I mean, what happens? Because they're all going to be at the bottom of the picking.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Like, you know, you last, I guess you just come on play with us.
Right.
You'll be the last man on the playground.
Exactly, because the West should get 16 of those spots this year, maybe 18.
But how are they doing it? Are they still going to have like the
it's going to be 12 for, and 12.
They'll be voting, and then they'll pick, but will the teams be even? Are they going to be, let's say, fail-safes in there to say you can't pick players from your own team with these two captains?
That hasn't been specified, but the two top vote-getters from each conference will be the captains, but it's going to be 12 from the East, 12 from the West,
right?
And they just pick from there. I mean, it's going to be a pickup game.
So, that's what I'm saying. Do you have something to say? Well, okay, Steph, you can't just pick Durant,
Clay,
and
Draymond.
Iguodala, but Iguodala won't make it. But let's say Draymond, you can't put them all on the same team. Is there like many?
Well, that shouldn't be any kind of rule. To where, like, oh, you can't pick this guy. Well, then what do we have the draft for?
I want him to force LeBron to pick Kyrie.
Even better, you probably want to see Westbrook have to pick Durant if he's a captain.
Yeah.
He has to pick Durant.
Top two vote getters,
or will he try to avoid picking anybody on the Warriors?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Westbrook might want to play by himself since he likes to shoot.
Exactly.
He going to pick the people he ain't got to pass. Well, what else you got for me, Jay?
Oh, that was it. Those are my storylines. And again, shout out to my Grizz.
There you go.
Picked up Ben McLemore, Tyreek Evans. Don't know what they're going to do, but shout out Grizz. Hopefully we make
playoffs. Got a couple of comments saying that they're praying for OKC to get along in jail so they can whoop Joe Golden Sticks. And then say, don't worry about really the All-Star game. It ain't what it's about.
Yeah.
I feel you, Marty.
Yeah. All right, question number three. G-Money. If you go to our website, srtradio.com, you will see the story. LeVar Ball says he will withdraw his son, Melo, and train him for the next 2 years. Homeschool him and train him for the next 2 years. Your thoughts and what do you expect to come out of this?
Well, I've heard a lot of takes to where, why is LeVar Ball, why is he bothering the administration so much? Why is he meddling so much to where two coaches have left the school in
Chino
the last
Hills.
2 months
right.
at Chino Hills. I thought about this from a different angle. I don't know if he's thought this all the way through. Like with the big baller brand, you know, you want to have more control over your merchandise. You know, let's start our own business.
Right.
So in this case, I don't know if he's thought this, but I believe he will be on the way to starting his own school.
Wow.
Big Baller Academy or, you know, whatever. Stay in your lane, prep. You know, something like that. He will start his own school to where the kids who are talented enough to play basketball, he'll have his own IMG Academy or Oak Hill or anything like that. I don't know if he's thought that far ahead, but that was the first thing I thought of when I saw that he pulled his son out of school.
Wow.
The new head coach of Chino here said you won't be launching 50 shots a game.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Are you against what he's doing? Come on, speak it. Spin it.
I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I don't know if you're prepping him for the next level where you won't take 50 shots a game. I mean, my thing is you have to be able to prep for the next level. And the way that he's trying to run from what we saw and what we've seen, He's trying to run this as if only my kids need to score, from what I've seen. And scoring, what was it, 73 points?
No, he scored 92.
Yeah, see, that, I mean.
On 61, 62.
Somebody got to do it. Might well shoot it. I don't have a problem with what he doing. I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't have a problem with what Venus and Serena Daddy did. I didn't have a problem with what Tiger Daddy did. And I don't have a problem with what he's doing. This man's got one son's the second overall pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
That's paid. If I could get my son to that level and get him paid, I've done my job.
Right.
He got another one at UCLA on a full ride. And he got another one that's driving a Lamborghini in 10th grade.
Must be nice.
Go ahead, G.
And the thing is, like, this isn't unprecedented. If anyone remembers Tim Tebow. He played quarterback. He played in high school, but he was actually homeschooled. And I was talking to a coworker at the day job today, and he had an interesting theory to where it's not that he's going, that LaMelo will be homeschooled. It's that LeVar wants to pick which school he can actually go to, and he'll just go there to play basketball. He'll still be homeschooled, but he can play at any school he wants to in the state. That is another angle, but I still want LeVar to start his own school.
so you pubbing that. All right.
One more thing before we move on. When is the next CBA? When is it up, the collective bargaining agreement, NBA?
2019, is it?
Dude, 2019 or 2020.
Yeah.
Because
I know there's two or three years left on it.
Because what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking he's prepping this kid to jump straight to the pros. It's a long shot. If they can.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
That's coming back.
If they're jumping straight from high school to the pros again, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. He's prepping him for.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I hope so.
Yeah. He must know something we don't know.
Oh, it's happening. Yeah. They've already been talking about it. It's coming.
He's foreshadowing.
Because this college thing was a farce anyway to say go to school 1 year. You're going for a semester, basically.
Yeah. And he already driving a Lamborghini. It
was a farce.
They go investigate him anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right. Question number four. AB Anthony Brown threw a tantrum.
Tony O'Brien.
I say Anthony Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is cuz.
This is cuz.
Yeah.
Well, not his cousin, but Antonio Brown threw a tantrum on the sideline for the Steelers, threw over the cooler and snatched away from the offensive coordinator because he was wide open on a play.
Mm-hmm.
Hancock, was it warranted?
I think it's more to it than just this story where it wasn't just this play.
Right.
Look, I've had Martavis Bryant on my team all season on my fantasy.
And Ben
has been missing him wide open a few times. Right. He's missing passes. But nobody's calling Ben on his stuff. You see what I'm saying? We got to look at Ben Roethlisberger barely decided to play this year.
Yep.
You know, he was kind of on the fence. So I think AB is like, look, are you in or out? And if we work on a play, and, you know, Shannon Sharp had a great point today when he was talking about how Jake Plummer had a play call for a certain situation. And when this situation arose, I'm looking for you to hit me because we've said it. Look for me on this play.
Right.
He came out on like the 5-yard line or whatever, and the play opened up with two high safeties and they split. He went down the middle, instead of Jake hitting him down the seam, he threw out in the flat for, you know, a little 5-yard run, and he was livid about it.
Right.
And he's like, these are the things we practice for. If I'm out here and I'm working and this situation arises, you've already said, this is what we're going to do. So I think it's more to it than just him going off about one play.
Right.
I think I've seen some slippage in Ben this year, but nobody calls out Ben.
Well, we can.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, the powers that be, they're not calling him out. Nobody's saying what he's doing wrong.
Right, right.
It's easy to pile on AB because of the Facebook Live thing he did after the game last year that kind of, you know, put the locker room and situation in a little tizzy. I understand that. But let's just be real that sometimes it's a little more to it than what meets the eye. And if you can't hold Ben accountable, and then for him to come out 2 days later, if you and I have something we discuss in the locker room, okay, I went off on the field or whatever, and you address it, then we leave it there. You don't come back 2 days later and get in the media and say, get back on me again. That's supposed to be water under the bridge.
I agree. All right, Smooth, what's your thoughts on it real quick?
for me, it's a problem for me. Because I have Antonio Brown on one of my fantasy teams. He gave me 3.4 last week. But that aside, and he alluded to it. Antonio Brown, he's slowly building an irrelevant portfolio of infractions. You mentioned the Facebook thing, and now this. It's only a problem because your quote-unquote quarterback said it was a problem. And your coach, Mike Tomlin, he also came out and said it was a problem as well. And to piggyback off of what Hero said, the last few years, Ben Roethlisberger has continued to regress. He's not the quarterback that he once was. And last year, he probably should have retired. Mm-hmm. As bad as he looks. So, if I'm Antonio Brown, I am upset. I mean, he's one of the highest paid receivers in the league. And despite the win last week, you still need to get the ball in this guy's hands. Mm-hmm. So, Le'Veon Bell had an amazing game. Bit. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's a problem there, and it needs to be addressed. Like you said, it's bigger than just one pass.
Right.
So, and I expect this to carry on throughout the season, and it's going to hurt Pittsburgh later on down the line.
I agree. All right, question number 5, the MLB playoffs started last night. Who makes it to the World Series? And I guess I'll take this one since I am the baseball guy. Listen, the Yankees came out kind of slow. 3-0, I think the pitcher last, two innings?
No, he got one out.
Didn't he? Yeah, six one out. One it out. Was horrible. But as noted, the Yankees came out after that, and they went on to beat Cleveland in the wild card game 8-4. Now they will they beat Minnesota. They will now play the Indians in the division series, and also the Red Sox in Houston plays for the American League. I think either the Red Sox, whoever win the Red Sox and Houston series, will move on to the World Series. The Yankees, I think the strikeouts will mount up for Judge. Houston is starting Verlander first, and they pitching staff is just off the chain. Boston has slowly but surely have come back from a not so great season, but they're kind of putting it together now. And with Chris Sales, a 300 strikeout pitcher for the year, he's going to be big. In the National League, the D-backs and the Rockies play tonight. One game to play the Dodgers, and I think the Dodgers come out of the National League. So it'll be the Dodgers versus the Red Sox or Houston, in my opinion. There you go. And that'll do it for the hot news.
Hot news.
Sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. Please go over to thebigeasygrill.com.
Please go.
Now coming up, of course, our favorite thing. While y'all looking at other sports websites to see who's ranked, we have our own. Now it's time for the SRT College Football Power 10.
All college football polls matter. Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's SRT Power 10. The Power 10 this week starts off again with the same top four. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Penn State are your top four teams. Alabama getting 40 points. Clemson with 35, Oklahoma with 31, Penn State with 28. Washington brings in at number 5 with 23 points. Georgia up to number 6 with 20 points. Michigan at 16 points comes in at 7. TCU with 12 points at number 8. Wisconsin comes in at number 9 with 9 points. And we had a tie for the 10th position. Washington enters the top 10. And Ohio State returns to the top 10 with 2 points. Other notes from this week's top 10, as I stated before, Georgia moved up 2 spots. They were our highest mover, going up from 8 to 6. And coming into, I guess, prominence are the Auburn Tigers. Auburn received 1 point this week, so they're right on the outside looking in. We have some big games coming up this week in our Power 10. Alabama will be traveling to Texas A&M. Mm. We'll have Oklahoma playing Iowa State. Iowa State kind of underrated, kind of an offensive squad, so it'll be a shootout. Looking at Penn State going to Northwestern. Northwestern is one of those teams that is just a thorn in the side of teams like Penn State, so I'm looking forward to that matchup. And the only other one that might, well, we got two that might present a little problem. Washington State goes into Oregon, even though Oregon is down a quarterback this week. They've been playing some pretty good football, and Wisconsin travels to Nebraska. Nebraska is looking for that signature win they haven't had in a few years, so keep definitely. An eye on that one.
Riley Job may be on the line.
Yeah, so I'm sure Lincoln will be rocking and rolling this week. So those are the games that you'll be looking for in the Power 10, out of our Power 10 next week. Mm-hmm. And I guess that wraps it up for this week's edition of SRT Power 10.
Georgia is 6 in our Power 10. They're 5 in the
AP poll,
things of that nature. Do you see at this point with the way that the Pac-12, Big 12 has played, do you see either two teams getting in from either conference like the SEC or maybe the Big Ten?
I think maybe the SEC with the, you know, with Georgia's, you know, ascension here recently. I wouldn't count Auburn out, though, really. I mean, Auburn right now, it's going to hurt that they lost to Clemson.
Right.
But if they play Alabama tough, I take that back. They won't get in with two losses. Auburn won't get in with two losses. The only way they'll get in is if they can upset an Alabama.
Yeah.
And then beat Georgia in a title game or something. But they're in the same side. They're both knees. So, it's a hard road for them. They could actually be a spoiler in the SEC. But I can't see two teams from the SEC being Georgia and Alabama. As far as ACC, Clemson, to me, is the dog. I don't see anybody in ACC that's really threatening them unless Florida State's defense comes up with one of those great games.
What about Miami?
We'll see more about Miami this weekend going to Florida State.
We will see that.
Exactly.
Because Miami surprised some folks.
They played well last week. They dominated Duke.
They did.
Which I didn't expect.
Don't say that too loud.
Well, you know, it's not basketball. But they did dominate Duke, which surprised me because Duke had been playing good football.
Playing good football.
So
was looking for that revenge factor.
Exactly. Right. So that maybe Miami can present a problem for Clemson. Them or Florida State, we'll see. As far as the Pac-12, with USC getting beat up last week at Washington, they're going to kind of cannibalize themselves. Washington is one loss away from that conference, not even having a team.
Exactly.
Pac-12, I'm serious. And then the Pac-12, the same way. So I don't know. I mean, not Pac-12, the Big 12.
Keep your eye on TCU. G, you want to say something?
I like TCU.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't see any conference getting in two teams, especially the SEC. I mean, if Georgia and Alabama are on a path to playing each other in the SEC championship, even if they're both undefeated, the winner of that game is going to get in.
Yeah.
I thought that early, G, but I don't think so now because Georgia's getting national recognition. Before, when the season started, I agree with you. But the more you listen, now if they're both undefeated, because I think
it'd have to be like 1-2, and then the committee will be like, well,
one would have to drop to 4 or something.
One would have
to
drop to 4 or to 3. Because if they drop to 4, then they're probably going to be playing each other again.
Right. But look at the story you got out there in other conferences. See, that's the only thing I'm saying. Yeah. I think Georgia has started to get a little momentum that they hadn't had and didn't have in the beginning of the year. Not just to go against what you're saying. I can see what you're saying, but I think when I'm hearing people talk now, Georgia's getting a lot of respect. Yeah. Now, they could lay an egg this week.
They could.
We know. We've seen it.
But we hope not, though. Go ahead, Jay.
And one more angle. I think we have to look at it this way. Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State. I mean, the guy's absolutely amazing. And I would assume he's the front runner for the Heisman, correct?
Him and Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we could all agree upon that. I think at a certain point of Penn State, if they can run the table, I think there's going to be some pressure to keep that kid. Seriously.
I agree.
And
that's
playoff.
A good angle. That's a good angle. I like it.
Especially with them getting left out last year.
Especially with Donaldson, the way he has played in USC, they would try to pump him, but there's no way they can probably get him in.
Donald, I think, is done.
I agree with you on that. That's a very, very good angle. So if Michigan and Penn State is right up there. You know, you could see.
So, but let me ask you this. Is the quarterback situation enough? We just got through talking about being one-dimensional. And to me, Penn State has, you know, when Barkley went up against that defense, Indiana held him to 50 yards rush.
Right.
Yeah. Indiana. And we saw Ohio State kill them, which is another team watch. By the end of the year, they'll be back in the picture.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about that when we get back. We got to take a commercial break. When we get back, Rain Man is on the phone. We'll be calling in to give us his pick. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-287-7891. 800-287-7891. 800-287-7891. That's 800-287-7891.
Tune your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune into this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Sports Roundtable.
You know, one thing I hate, and you'll never hear me say that's my boss at work. He's my manager. You see what I'm saying? When people say, who's your boss? I don't have one. He's my manager. Boss to me is like calling me boy. Yeah. I'm a man just like you. Yes, you dictate what happens, but you're the manager.
Right.
I don't have a boss. Miss Superhero might be. Because I do whatever she say.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
Well, get ready, because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
Sports Roundtable back with the SRT crew in the building. H.O. Sports Superhero and Chase Smooth, the sixth man. D Money behind the glass and on the phone, of course. We got our main man, Rain Man. Slick Money's on the phone to give us them picks. How you doing this week, Rain Man?
Look at God.
Slick Money.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening? You doing all right?
Ain't I shaking with the ladies on the tree? What's up, nephew?
What up? Slick Money, let me get it for the girls. Get it.
There you go.
The girls already got it.
Oh, you say the girls already got it. Hey, Slick, how you do last week?
I'm doing pretty good. My upset, I took Houston Texans to upset the Tennessee Titans, but I lost to the Cowboys with a 14-point lead.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Virginia Tech got crushed by Clemson. So yeah. I went 1-2 last week.
Yeah, that Clemson Virginia Tech game, boy, it was woof. Yeah.
You know what the beauty of it is, though, H.O.?
What's that?
It's always this week.
Always this week. All right, speaking of that, who do you have this week? Go ahead and give us the lock of the week.
Lock of the week? Y'all won't believe it. But I think Houston is hot. I think Kansas City Chiefs fall Sunday night in Houston. So I like Houston personally getting one at home. Not only is it upset, but it's my lock. I love Houston to knock off Kansas City Chiefs coming off Monday night win.
Houston plus one?
Yes, Houston plus one.
Okay. All right, give me your blowout pick of the week.
My blow up piece, I'm going to get the military schools. I'm taking Navy -7. Navy is pretty good. They've been good for the last 4 or 5 years, and for some strange reason, people just can't stop them. I like Navy -7 at home against Air Force, their homeboys.
Who they playing? Air Force?
Yeah, they're playing Air Force. Air Force being 7, but I think Navy double that or more.
Wow. Air Force. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Navy has been demolishing some people.
Slick Money, Mookie told me to tell you what's up.
What's going on?
He said, what's up, Mook?
Give me your upset pick of the week.
The upset pick, I'm staying in college. I'm going with your boys and our Duke Blue Devils.
There you go.
I like Duke Blue Devils +3. Going to Charlotte, you know, to play Virginia Cavaliers, who had a bye week, so they pretty restless. I just think Duke is better than them. So I'm liking Duke +3. That's my upset pick of the week.
+3 against Virginia. All right, you got any bonuses? I know you got them in your pocket.
Yeah, this is a bonus that, look at God, Hancock should know about this. Look at God. It's crazy, but I think the Rams actually play Seattle better than anybody. I think they've given Seattle fits for the last 3 or 4 years. I like the Rams at home +1. I think the Rams are playing good ball. So the Rams is one I'm picking at home +1.
Wow. I like that.
Extra bonus pick, I'm going in college. I think Stanford is going to beat Utah, but I like Utah home +6. It's hard to go up in Utah and beat them at home, but I think that 6 might be good. But I think Stanford's going to win the game, though.
Stanford +6?
Utah plus six.
Oh,
I like Utah
plus Utah 6. Plus 6.
Gotta love an underdog. Winnie Howes getting them points at home.
Yes, right. So I like Utah +6 at home. But Stanford probably win the game. I think they're finna go on the road. They still got a chance to crack 10 championship.
Okay. So I got Houston, the lock of the week, Houston Texans +1.
Against Kansas City.
The blowout is Navy -7 versus Air Force.
That's correct.
Upset pick will be Duke +3 going to Virginia.
Yes.
And the bonus pick will be the Rams +1 versus Seattle. And also Utah +6 versus Stanford.
That's correct, sir.
That's correct. My main man, Slick Money. As always, we appreciate it. Any shout-outs or anything you want to say before we let you go?
Yes, keep listening to the hottest crew, SRT Sports Talk. My homie, nephew. Just look at God, Hancock. Look at God.
Hey, Slick, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week, bro.
Okay, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, Slick.
There you go, Rain Man picks of the week. I do like the Rams. We're going to talk about the Rams a little bit later. And we also go talk about what love has to do with it. And we'll talk about that as we get on down to our roundtable discussion. But let's go ahead and do our picks as well. And my pick for this week, as mentioned earlier, I do like TCU, and I'm taking TCU -12 versus West Virginia. West Virginia has showed some slippage over the last couple of weeks.
That's at Morgantown, too.
Yeah. No, I think it's at TCU. G, check that for me. I think it's at TCU, though. I'm pretty sure.
Is it at TCU?
I think it's at TCU.
Okay.
Giving up 12, I think so. But TCU has slowly but surely...
That is TCU is at home.
TCU is at home. So, yeah, TCU has surely made their way to some conference championship talk. Their defense is been pretty good. The quarter, is it Kyle Allen?
Mm-mm. At TCU, you got Kenny Hill.
So... He's been doing his thing, so we're gonna definitely talk about TCU here in the upcoming week. So, Han, who you got for your pick for this week?
I'm gonna go back to Washington State, man, getting 3. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do coming off that big win against USC. But I got Washington State against Oregon. Oregon, like I said, lost coming in with that.
Lost the quarterback.
Exactly. And I think they're still a little banged up. I think the schedule played well for them early.
Mm-hmm.
They jumped out and beat some people and kind of got a little attention. But I think Washington State, this is a statement game. They have to come back and really validate the win, beating USC last week at home. This has to be a statement for them, so I'm looking for them. Getting three, I'll take that. I'll take the three in Washington State.
Okay. G, who you got for your pick for this week?
All right, I have a Georgia minus 17.5 versus Vanderbilt. I think it's going to be worse than that. Vanderbilt is in they're spiraling out of control.
They are.
And it all started with that guy saying Alabama, you're next. It is all downhill from there.
And they gave up over 200-yard rushing to Florida this past week.
Wow.
They've given up 97 points in their last two games. And the first three games, I think they gave up like 13.
Oh, yeah.
that last run, that 7 points they gave up cost me some fruit cups.
Oh, really?
That last what was it, about a 30-yard run?
Yeah.
On 4th and 1?
Yeah. They gave up a bunch of chunks of yards. And to G's point, you don't want Georgia to run out because they got five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Four for sure.
Alabama Junior.
Running backs.
Right now.
They can go.
Yeah, like that's them. That would be the difference is that the Georgia's defense is playing well. Only give them like 9 points a game. And I also wrote down that both teams, their quarterback is so-so, but I get that what gives Georgia the edge is that they have all these running backs, you know, and Vanderbilt can't run the ball at all. They average like 2 yards a carry.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's not going to happen.
I might have a ride with it.
Well, look, your average goes down when you play Alabama and then Florida, two of the best defenses in the country. Yeah. If you look at them before that, they were running the ball pretty good.
Yeah,
but that was against Kansas State and
Middle Tennessee.
Backyard University and all them.
It's a different animal now.
Absolutely. All right, Jay, what you got for your pick for this week?
It's actually, we're going to talk about it later, but it's the game of the week. I'm actually taking Green Bay and the 2 points. And right now, I mean, it's pretty much the battle of attrition. Both teams have players out on both sides, and we'll get into that later. But they actually split last year. Dallas ended up beating them in the playoffs.
We won the wrong one, though.
Right. So I'm taking Green Bay plus the 2. I truly believe in Aaron Rodgers. Wish he was my quarterback. The one I have, he always gets hurt. won't mention that. But, you know, I'm taking Green Bay in the 2 points.
Maybe you can get Kaepernick.
Not! Right, nah. Yeah, that's sad. But Green Bay plus 2.
Green Bay plus 2?
Yep.
All right, there you go. Give you our picks. TCU minus 12 versus West Virginia. Hancock, you got
Wazoo.
G Money say you got Georgia. And Smooth say he got Green Bay. So those are some picks. So please take the picks and look over them carefully. And, you know, if you happen to win any fruit cups off our picks, we'll give you the PayPal account to make sure that we are rewarded for that.
There you go.
All right. Now it is time to get into one of our favorite segments. And this is called Ballers and Busters.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Ballers and Busters, sponsored by Chase Used Cars. If you're looking for a new, used, or pre-owned car, please go on over to our friends at Chase Used Cars, 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia, not Lawrenceville, Georgia, but Tucker, Georgia. And if you mention Sports Roundtable SRT, you will get a 10% discount on your down payment. Trust me when I tell you, baller for me this week, I already said, if you heard me earlier, what does love have to do with it? Well, Bryce Love for the Stanford Cardinals. Going into this week's game, or last week's game, he was averaging 196-yard rushing per game, averaging 10.8 per carry.
Wow.
And all he did was rush for 301 yards, school record. Now he's averaging 217 yards a game and averaging 11 per carry.
Wow.
Bryce Love, welcome to New York. Listen, we may talk about the Pac-12. Maybe the defense ain't as strong. But, man, to average 217 point, I mean, rushes a game, to average that? The mm-hmm. average. Mm-hmm. That's not in one game.
Yeah.
That's his average.
Yeah, I guess. I bet you Vanderbilt's tailback will change places. See, that's the thing I'm saying. Yeah, okay, he ran for all that. But the guy, I bet you way up at Vanderbilt is saying, he gets a ball up for playing against air. And I run against Florida, Alabama, and then got to turn around. Now I got to face Georgia.
Georgia? Yeah.
He wouldn't get 300 in there. He wouldn't get 300 in combined. Six games against those. But, hey, that's a good baller, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
That the game is props now.
Yeah. Bryce Love, ball of the week, ran 61 yards.
Picked the right school to go to.
All right. Give me your baller, man.
Hey, my ball is the Washington State Huskies coming up with the big win on Friday night.
Cougars.
Man, called the Huskies. I'm thinking about Washington, the University of Washington. Yeah. The Cougars. They laid in wait for USC, and they did to them what they needed to do, man. It was a great game. It was a great game to watch. I think USC got a little bit overrated early in the year for the big win they had against Stanford. And mm-hmm. what did Bryce Love do that day?
He was averaging 196. I can look it up.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm just messing with you. But coming off that big win, well, going into that game, that was a big win for Washington State. Kind of puts them in the hunt right now, so we'll see where it leads them to. But Washington State gets my baller for last week.
Okay. Before we move on to G, one of my Facebook buddies made mention and wanted me to remind everyone that tonight is opening night for the hockey, NHL. So anybody interested in...
Got some cricket.
NHL... hockey season starts tonight, so
congratulations.
I did mention it, so
yeah, it's too cold for barbecue.
Tell them we don't have a team anymore, so we don't have to care.
All right, G, who is your baller for this week?
Well, I had the same one as you, Bryce Love.
What Love got to do with?
He has 1,088 yards in 5 games. He's the 10th player to do that, and he has the 4th most all time as far as the most rushing yards in 5 games, behind Byron Hansbard, who remembers him, out of Texas Tech, Marcus Allen out of USC, and the most in 5 games is by 5'7" Garrett Wolf out of Northern Illinois. That was back in 2006.
I remember him.
But My other choice is from the NFL, Deshaun Watson.
Awesome.
25 of 34, 283 yards, 4 touchdowns, and also ran for another touchdown. He's the, I think he was the second player to have, second rookie to have 5 total touchdowns in a game. And another weird fact that I found is this is the first time that an NFL game has ended with a score of 57-14.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, that's wow. Okay. Shout out to T Coop. I see you. All right, Jay Smooth, your baller for this week.
Oh, this might be the most obvious one of all weekend. The Troy Trojans. The entire football, the entire university. Shout out to the Troy Trojans. They go down to Baton Rouge and defeat the deplorable LSU Tigers.
I just wondered, did they practice safe sex?
No, I'm sure they did.
Being Trojans.
I'm sure. But congrats to Troy. And on top of that, they picked up a $985,000 check. So, sadly, it won't go to any players. But congrats to them. And on top of that, they sent out the ultimate troll. It was real petty. The tweet thanking LSU, saying, hey, We appreciate you guys inviting us to homecoming, and hopefully they can do it again next year. But I'm really disappointed with LSU, but forget LSU. Congrats, Troy. Great win. They went in. They ran the ball. They held LSU scoreless in the first half.
Exactly.
Wow.
And
that's big.
The game probably wasn't as close as the score indicated right. that it was. So congrats to Troy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
LSU's not playing them for like 20 years at least.
Right. Yeah. Right. You got beat and they took your money?
Wow. On homecoming.
Yeah. On homecoming. And they sent out a tweet.
Woo. That's bad. All right. Busters. Speaking of LSU. LSU is my buster. 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. 0-for-8 third down.
That's sad.
How can you just not representing the SEC at all? You playing Troy University and you go 0-for-8 on third down? Be it. They was without their best running back.
Yeah, but that's Troy. That's Troy.
Exactly.
Sunbelt. Yeah.
Well, they got help.
He said Sunbelt.
Sunbelt Conference.
I'm sorry, were you done? You got
some? Yeah, that was it.
Okay. Well, they got help on representing the SEC. And we're going to go to Knoxville. And because I'm stealing yours, Mr. Bush Jones and the Tennessee Volunteers. How you going to have Peyton Manning Day?
Ooh.
And get annihilated. What was the final score?
41-0.
Didn't score on Peyton Manning Appreciation Day. The most famous alumni in your university history.
They don't appreciate him too much.
They didn't appreciate him. Did they?
No.
Yeah. My buster goes to Bush Jones and the Tennessee Volunteers.
All right. So maybe it went sort of like this. Almost close to scoring.
Almost
close. Almost. Almost close.
That's sad.
Tennessee, you bad. All right, G.
It's interesting that it was on Peyton Manning Day and they played Georgia. I would have thought that would have been like, it would have been more appropriate if they had lost 41-0 to Florida on Peyton Manning Day because he never beat them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Good
but,
stuff.
But my buster of the week is Sam Darnold.
Thank you. Get him, G.
15-29, 164 yards, and an interception. This is the second game in which he didn't throw a touchdown. The other one was against a MAC team. He's not that good, guys. He's just not. Their best player is their running back, Ronald Jones. That's what they need to do. Give him the ball as much as they possibly can or their other running backs. Yeah, and it's something about playing in like Pullman, Washington on a Friday evening. It's going to be foggy and cold and it's eerie.
Yeah.
To play one of those teams. It's like Washington State and Iowa are those teams to where if you play them at night and you're a high ranked team,
you're
going to struggle. Like Penn State escaped.
Yeah. You're right.
But USC did not escape Pullman with a win.
So Sam is not going to New York?
You can't have two games in which you don't throw a touchdown.
But, gee, you know they keep – they do quarterbacks like that. They like Jason. They keep bringing them back to life. Let him have a big game, and they'll put him right back in the hunt. But you remember last year how Deshaun Watson got killed for throwing interceptions. I think Darnold has, what, 8 or 9?
He's thrown 9 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in 5.
And they're still pubbing him as the top quarterback coming out of the draft.
It's a problem. It should be a red flag if you're throwing a lot of interceptions at the college level. Like, I thought Jameis had the same problem at Florida State, throwing a lot of interceptions at the college level. Like, everybody's supposed to be wide open in college. Everyone's supposed to be wide open. And you're still throwing a ball to the other team.
And Jameis still throwing to the other team.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah. They're pubbing him, and he's still doing
it. All right, Smooth, who you got for your bust?
All right, I hate to do it, but I have to double down.
Get him.
On this Tennessee thing. And honestly, I couldn't go back to Tennessee if I didn't do it. I'm a native of Tennessee. my father and aunt, they both are graduates of the University of Tennessee. I applied to Tennessee, but I didn't go. I decided to go to Middleton. But I'll specifically focus on the defense.
Uh-oh.
All right, we already got that out the way. Butch Jones should be fired.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it now. 41-0, you lost. But defensively, they rank 121st nationally in rush defense. They give up 5.16 yards per carry, and they allow 252.6 rush yards per game.
Wow.
That's horrible. I think Troy can beat Tennessee.
Bryce Love trying to get there.
Right.
He trying to get to Tennessee. He want to run against them.
500 yards with Bryce Love. But I'm extremely disappointed in Tennessee. Butch Jones, he has to go. Ed Ogeron,
yeah.
HM3, just invite them to the show. They can sit right there. I think Butch Jones, he should be available in the next few weeks. I'm extremely disappointed in Tennessee.
We won't know what the hell Ogeron's saying anyway.
Though. Right, right.
Is he one and done?
He should be.
He should be, but I'm not sure they're going to do it, man. I mean, they had all this backing to get him in there and all that, but, you know, you have to be careful what you wish for. See, one thing about Les Miles, you had a physical football team every year.
Yep.
And now they've gone in this finesse with, I thought Canada would be able to do something coming from Pittsburgh and having that OC doing some things with the offense, having those players. But this SEC, man, you got to hit, you got to run the football, you got to tackle.
You can't hire on emotion.
Right. And
that's what they did.
And they pretty much know what they're doing. Yeah, exactly. They shot themselves in the foot. It's going to be a while before they recover. Tennessee did the same thing when they got rid of Fulmer. They have not recovered since they got rid of Fulmer.
Have not.
All right, other news. WNBA Game 5 is tonight, 8 o'clock. The L.A. Sparks, Minnesota Lynx playing at Minnesota.
Game 5, right?
Game 5. Winner take all. Who you got?
I'm leading Sparks because I just want them to win. I like Candace Parker, and I just want them to beat Minnesota. I know you, Maya Moore. Parker took care of him last year. Let's see him do it again. Let's go, Miss Parker. I'm going for Miss Parker.
G, who you got tonight, man?
Man, I want to see Minnesota win. Whoever wins, it'll be the first. Well, the second four-time champion. The first four-time champion doesn't exist anymore. But I want to see Minnesota. I like Maya Moore. I like Simone Augustus. I've been following for a long time. I'm picking them.
Yep. All right, Smooth.
This is a tough one. I love Maya Moore and all of the links, but I got to go with my Tennessee girl, Candace Parker. And rest in peace, Pat Summit. But I got to go with the Sparks, Candace Parker and the Sparks.
After you just ripped Tennessee?
Yeah, I just ripped. I mean, they need some
different sport. Different sport. Yeah.
Notice
okay.
I had
different
to. Need I had to separate myself. I said we first, and I said they.
Yeah.
They need something good to happen, and hopefully Candace Parker can be that.
Peyton Manning rolling over his grave.
He definitely is.
Golly. I'm going Lynx. They at home.
Yeah.
What kind of game is that? They got it at home.
Mm-hmm. They at home. And Maya Moore, she had a tough game 4, I think. Very tough game. She fouled out. I think it was game 4. And they came back, man, and it might have been game 3. But I think Maya Moore shows why she, Candace, probably would pass the torch to her. I think she shows up. They have a lot of weapons in Minnesota.
The MVP also.
Yeah.
Sylvia Fowles.
Sylvia, yeah, they got a lot of weapons in Minnesota.
Glad D. Will not here. That would not have gone well.
Exactly.
That would not have gone well.
Other news.
I see it, D. Will.
In other news, we also have Russ signing. Let me say it this way. Russ trolled on KD's birthday by signing the 205 deal. Do you think something was to that, or Or are we just making too much out of it?
Look, man, the NBA is the most petty right now. It's great.
Yeah.
It gives you storyline. We've been talking NBA since last year. Exactly. I mean, it's they stay in the news about something, whether it's Kyrie trolling LeBron.
Right, right.
Whether LeBron is being passive aggressive, whether Steph and Draymond are being. It's something to talk about, man, and I love it. I can't wait till they throw the ball up.
Yeah.
Then I love that they keep trolling each other. Keep as long as it stays between the lines, let's do it.
G, was that a troll?
That is Petty White, Petty LaBelle, Petty King Jr., Petty Murphy.
Everything.
All of it.
All of it. Smooth, you think?
Congrats to Russell. And I saw him and his son on Instagram, and his son looks just like him. So I don't know what his son's name is, but congrats, son. I mean, you're the second richest kid next to Asad Khaled. So congrats, Russell Westbrook. You know, I'm available if you need management, assistant, whatever the case may be. But yeah, that was real petty. It's a heck of a coincidence.
It is a heck of a coincidence. He waited all this time.
Right.
Because they offered it to him during the season, right? End of the season?
It's been sitting there waiting. Yeah.
He had it on the calendar.
Yeah, but let's just appreciate Westbrook's loyalty. I think it's really good for the NBA and small market teams.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And
Paul, it's kind of easy to be loyal when they give you $205 million.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And Paul George has said,
might do a commercial for the Klan for $200 million.
That's crazy. Go ahead, G.
Paul George has said that makes his decision, because he'll be a free agent next summer, it makes the decision easier for him. To know that if Russell's going to be there, hey, maybe I might stick around.
We'll see how much he passed the ball and see if he still feels the same.
Melo was locked in for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 years. All right, man, that's going to end our Ballers and Busters. We go take a quick break. Coming back for the second half of the show. Y'all stick around. Keep it locked. Listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peakville. AM 1100. Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned or used car to get you around the city, or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker, and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
Would you rather have a toothache or a migraine?
Ooh.
Which could you deal with the best?
Never had a migraine from what I hear. I'm taking the toothache, too. But you can go get that pulled.
Straight like that. Straight like that.
You can't pull nothing out of the migraine.
You can't pull your mind.
Yeah. Have you seen Get Out?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to the sunken place.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T. Yeah. Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. Oh, no. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour of the show, and we are into our second hour of the show. As the crew is in the building, H.O. Sports Superhero Hancock, Chase Smooth, the Six Man, is in the building as well. And the man behind the glass, G-Money, first hour of the show, Slick Money, Rain Man, called in, give us his picks. Also had that power, SRT Power 10, college football, and had some hot news, had some very interesting things to talk about, and we just got finished talking about Russell signing $205 million on KD's birthday. Maybe it's petty, but I mean, $205 million, who cares? I mean, it is what it is. Don't forget, tonight is the opening night of NHL hockey, and also the Lynx, Minnesota Lynx, playing LA Sparks tonight. WNBA final, winner take all. They're playing in Minnesota 8 o'clock tonight. Take the Four Letter Network. Also, the Rockies and D-backs play in the wild card game tonight in baseball. The winner plays the Dodgers for the series. And Washington and the Cubs will play their series tomorrow. So that is your rundown, and we're about to get into some real good sports talk radio, because right now it is time to go or get into our sports roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports roundtable discussion. Sponsored by Big Boys Cigars. If you're looking for a nice, easy, smooth cigar, please check out Big Boys Cigars on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. Please go there, check out Big Boys Cigars. We will be having some events here coming soon, so please stay tuned for that. Think big, drink big, smoke big, Big Boys Cigars. Roundtable discussion. Let's go to Saturday. We talked about Tennessee, talked about Georgia. The question would be, Georgia was not ranked in the top 10 coming into the season. They had Eason as their highly touted quarterback going into the season. Michelle came back, Sony Michelle, and Nick Chubb coming back. The defense was supposed to be better, and Eason gets hurt. Other freshman comes in from, and they haven't looked back since. Hancock, why is Georgia winning at this point?
Well, Kirby has brought the formula from Alabama. You know, a lot of Nick's assistants, Nick Saban, that is, assistants have tried to take what he does at Alabama and bring it to different programs, and they've just not succeeded. You know, we've seen it happen with Muschamp at two places now. You know, trying to make that happen, it just didn't. So he's been able to kind of mold Georgia in that defensive-minded Nick Saban-type defense, I guess is what you want to say, where he takes the thing that you do well away from you and makes you beat him some way that you're not comfortable with and rely on a run game, not turn the ball over and pass when he wants to rather than having to go into a pass situation. That's worked well so far. Maybe it's because of some of the competition, but he went into to Notre Dame and won.
Right.
And I kind of looked at Notre Dame as maybe not being as good, but the last few weeks have shown that Notre Dame is a pretty good football team, which I think we have to watch because that loss to Georgia looks better now on their resume.
Right.
So that's a team we might need to start watching too is Notre Dame because they have the cachet of the name and the following. So, you know, that plays a lot into how teams are picked. But getting back to Georgia, I just think Kirby, what I was worried about was him being more of an assistant than fitting that head coach mold, but he's shown in this second year that he's kind of turned that program into a SEC-style team. Now, I mean, a real SEC-style team. You know, and these games, like coming off a win in Notre Dame, we've seen Georgia stumble the next week. But they picked it up, and they came out, and they beat this team. So now we have another test coming off a big game in Tennessee. Do they lay an egg at Vandy? With Vandy. I don't know where the game is. Is it at Vandy? Do they lay the egg? And we've seen recent Georgia teams not come through.
Right.
So this would be one of those. Not that Vandy is this formidable opponent, but it's an opponent that they should handle.
Right. You don't see Nick Saban have drop-offs.
Alabama doesn't
score
right.
So we need to see the same formula.
Same
if you're going to follow the recipe.
Right.
And I think Mel Tucker is the assistant that came over with Kirby. If you're going to follow this recipe, then you need to follow it to the T.
This is what we need.
You don't have no drop-offs. You don't have no lag games, things of that nature.
Right. It shouldn't be a struggle where you eking this one out.
Exactly.
They should be resting midway third quarter, really.
Jay Smooth, why do you think Georgia's winning?
Partly, and Hero, he alluded to it earlier. I think largely it's part of it is the schedule. And I think going in, I expected them to maybe go 3-2 through the first five games. Thought Notre Dame would have been a tough game as well as Mississippi State, but they're actually not as good as people thought they would have been. But I didn't expect the quarterback controversy, but there is none now. There's no controversy now. So for me, Georgia, I mean, they have a really good formula. Defensively, they can win games by themselves. And Nick Chubb, I love what they've done with Nick Chubb. They've really limited him this year. I mean, they have an entire committee that can pretty much get it done week in and week out. And I really think that they've largely benefited from the scheduling. I mean, Appalachian State, they're not great. Samford, we saw how bad Tennessee is this past week. So, I mean, and really, outside of that Notre Dame win, all of their wins were, for the most part, they were pretty much convincing. For the most part. But Kirby Smart, he has developed. And they sort of snuck up on people, if you ask me. I didn't expect them to do what they've done. And I think they've sort of had a certain element of surprise. They've caught a lot of people off guard. And even though they have a national profile, I mean, going back all the way with Mark Richt. But that's pretty much my take on Georgia and how they've been able to get to where they are now.
Defensively, I think Jay alluded to 9 points a game. Is that correct? I don't know if they're going to play anyone that scores a lot or that has a high-powered offense other than Alabama. Other than Alabama.
You don't think that Georgia Tech triple option?
That's going to be
a high-powered offense?
But it's going to be a hard offense.
It's going to be a hard offense to stop. But yeah. I guess what I'm saying
not high-powered, though.
The teams that they've played, I don't know if offensively they scare you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And not to take away anything from their defense, because I think it's very, very solid. You can see that they don't, in a lot of years, miss assignments, blown assignments, and things of that nature. And they are very, very balanced. Their defense is far ahead of the offense as far as balance is concerned, because I don't think if you force Georgia to throw the ball, I think that's when they're going to get in trouble. The defense could keep you in the game. But I think once you start to force them to throw the ball is where Georgia is kind of unbalanced in that respect. So quarterback controversy, maybe not. But if Eason is your best passer, then you just kind of look at it. I think the telltale will be the Florida game where their defense matches up well. But they have some very good offensive players. They don't execute a lot. Of times, But they do have some very good offensive players, and then they're down to two quarterbacks now with Del Rio going out. So they would probably be in the same boat. I would probably take the under in that game because I think both of them are offensively challenged when it comes to being balanced on offense. G, your thoughts on Georgia and why they're winning this year?
I agree that it's the schedule. Somebody has to win that division. And, you know, I don't expect Georgia to lose a game, in especially in the division. Maybe Florida, they might slip up there. But other than that, like, I don't see any serious threat. I mean, I don't even see Auburn as a threat to Georgia to win the division. And, you know, I've also alluded to that. Kirby Smart has the defense, like, prepared and ready to play. And they're doing just enough on offense. And they're going to have to depend on running the football. It was kind of a variation on to where I've heard with when Lane Kiffin was the OC at Alabama. Okay, who's our best player? We're going to give him the ball as many times as we possibly can. And a variation with that with Georgia is our best player is our running back. So we're going to mix it up with them. Chubb may be our best one, or if it's somebody else. And we're going to focus on doing that as far as scoring points. So, mostly the schedule. Yeah.
But I think we've seen this formula. And if we're talking about Alabama, we've seen this before getting the black quarterbacks in at Alabama. This was their recipe: to run the football, play great defense, and hit the pass when it's there. Mm-hmm. And we saw that with AJ McCarron, McElroy, and all those. And it's the same principles that he's using at Georgia. The one-on-one 50-50 balls, like we saw him beat Notre Dame that same way. They made plays. They have two receivers that will go get it. Mm-hmm. I don't know number six's name with Georgia, but he'll go get it. And I know Godwin is five. Godwin will go. He makes plays. He's not as big as that other kid, but they have made plays this
Javon
year.
Javon Wims.
Wims. That's his name, Wims. Has made several plays that I've seen him go up and get the football. And I think Fromm throws a very catchable 50-50 ball where he throws and puts it in a position where he can make a play on it.
Right.
Now, playing against certain teams, the Bamas and the Floridas, they have athletes out there too that's going to go get it. So I agree with you in that respect. It's going to be a little more difficult on those 50-50 balls. And even with – don't shortchange Auburn's defense. Auburn has one of the best defenses in the nation. Yep. I'm telling you, they honestly do, and they're getting better on defense. They're actually getting better on offense if you look at what they've done the last few weeks. And that may be scheduling too, but you got to get better at cutting your teeth somewhere.
Right.
And I see Stidham getting more comfortable, making more plays. Auburn is playing good football, right, whether we want to admit it or not. So that's going to be a test for Georgia down the line and Alabama.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
We'll see.
Yeah. And I think we could all agree that the schedule has, for the most part, allowed Georgia to remain one-dimensional. And as you said, once they get to Auburn, Auburn could be that team that forces Jake Fromm or Easton, who's ever under center at the time, to throw. And that's exactly what Kirby Smart and Georgia, I'm sure that's what they don't want to do. So, and up until Auburn, I mean, they have Vanderbilt, Mizzou, then Auburn and Florida. Those teams, defensively, they can give them trouble. But after that, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Georgia Tech, I think if they can skate through Auburn and Florida, they have so many people out, I think Georgia might be all right.
Yeah, that's something to look at. Definitely something to look at. They may have a bye week with Florida.
They normally do have a bye week leading into the Florida game.
Before Florida, yeah. So,
yeah, before
Florida.
If they're playing Missouri, that's a bye too. Because Missouri, there's no D in Missouri.
No.
Yeah. Let's talk about this Falcons game Sunday. Falcons, second home game of the year. They play Buffalo Bills. They lose 23-17. If you are from it, where if you live here in Atlanta, you know that we hit the panic button pretty quick. and a lot of times it's opinions and things that's missing information. And, you know, a lot of times they even had somebody on Facebook Live talk about the bust of the week is the referees, you know, in the Falcons game with the replays and things of that nature. Yeah, we could say that, but if you leave it up to the refs, then you get what you get. Things even out throughout the year as far as that is concerned. With me, that's the way I look at it. But losing or going into the game without four starters, five starters, something like that, then you lose your one and two receivers. Kind of hard to adjust in that game plan. And basically, Buffalo just stacked the box and say, well, beat me with the rest of these receivers and let's see what happens. Another thing is, to me, if you watch, you know, a lot of people say, well, why you didn't run the ball? The play caller could be somewhat of a topic to talk about, okay? You can talk about it because second and one, I think you go ahead and run the ball, get the first down because you wasted that by just throwing it away, okay? A lot of things happen in this football game. It's a team sport, all right? Now, my thing is the fourth and one call was not a run play. He looked left. The cornerback jumped the route. He went back right. Gabriel ran the worst route that you can run. He didn't. If you go back and look at the route that he ran, he stopped and then he took back off and got held. Okay, yeah, but if you ran the route the correct way, he wouldn't have had a chance to hold and you'd have been wide open. But that's a whole nother story. Those are just things that you can look at to say, even though, yeah, you could have ran the ball with Freeman or Coleman and things of that. I don't even think Freeman was in the game in fourth and one. I think Coleman was in the game. Yeah. But my thing would be to talk about this would be the play calling. So let's talk about that. What is it? How could you rate the play calling for now?
This one, I don't think you can rate play calling in this game in particular because you lost one and two receivers. The plays that were called, there may have been a couple of plays that could have been made if that's Julio on that post pattern,
right,
that 50-50 ball. Being the beast that he is, Julio maybe goes up and gets that ball. You got Taylor Gabriel, or whatever his name is,
yeah, Gabe,
going down the seam. He's
probably,
yeah, about as tall as I am and going against a tall safety. He's not going to make that play. When you get him, the reason he gets behind secondaries or whatever, you got receivers that draw the safeties up or whatever, then he's got one-on-one or whatever. So I am a little worried about the actual continuity between the offensive coordinator and Matt.
Right.
And that's because it took a while for him and Shanahan to get on the same page and become that offense that they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 years ago, we were talking about this ain't working.
Right.
You know, Shanahan ain't the right fit right. for that. And then it clicked and it meshed and they became what they became last year. There have been chinks in the Falcons' armor. If you look back and you look at the first game of the year, they struggled with a team that we know is not very good in Chicago. Going to play Detroit, controversial call, which was a correct call. They got away with a win there. Look, this game that you lost this Sunday, you chalk it up to maybe you could have won it if you had your players, but it didn't happen. Buffalo is actually a good football team. They're 3-1 for a reason.
Right.
They have an above average defense.
Absolutely.
And what they do have is a quarterback that if you allow him to extend the play, hurts you. They have a shifty running back in Shady McCoy. So a couple of levels in there, they got offense also that can move and make some plays. So being at the game, I was fortunate enough to get to go to the game Sunday. And there were countless times where Tyrod Taylor was, it looked like I'm in this box with you guys. And there were people around him. They couldn't put a hand on him.
Wow.
He's that quick. He and Russell Wilson are the same player. Russell just plays on a better team in Seattle. But for the most part, they're the same player. And I think Atlanta's defense, I think it was more to it not having some of the defensive players on that line. Mm-hmm. Kind of they got a little worn down. Maybe 44 was
Beasley.
Beasley's absence it's starting to maybe be more of a presence than I thought it would be. You know, not having that body to rotate through. And especially when Buffalo went on like a 14-play drive where they just ran the football down their throat.
Yeah.
They were getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards a carry. And Atlanta couldn't stop them. So that kind of worried me that they weren't able to stop the run game. You know, that they took off about 8-9 minutes on that drive, shortened the game, and with Atlanta not having their weapons, it just made it difficult for them to even come back and win that game, to be honest. And they still had a chance at the end.
Still had a chance.
As far as those calls, I thought the hand was empty on the fumble to me. I thought the ball was coming loose and he pushed it forward. So, to me, I thought it was a fumble. The catch that Coleman made on the sideline was the same kind of catch that the guy from Buffalo made where the ball was on the ground at simultaneous. Because Coleman's ball came out a little bit on the ground, too, on the one where he caught down the left sideline.
Right.
So, to me, what I've seen this year in the officiating is they've tried to stay mostly with what the call is. If there's not just blatant, indisputable evidence, they're not going to overturn it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Smooth.
Well, I think we learned a couple things on Sunday. And Hero said Buffalo is a lot better than people think they are. And I think the Falcons came in. I think they underestimated them a bit. Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, they both had great game plans. And just like last year, going into the bye week when Atlanta lost to the Eagles last year, I think Atlanta came in maybe slightly unprepared, and we see that they struggle. Like, they struggle with the Chicago Bears. They struggle with teams with great defensive fronts and teams who can run the ball. And it didn't help that Tyrod Taylor added that extra element of mobility.
Right.
So the Falcons defense, they hadn't played up to par so far. I think they're ranked about 18th.
13th in total yards.
Total yards. And total points, they're giving up 22.3 a game,
exactly.
Which is
a lot.
Disappointing. Considering the money you spent, you paid Dunterry Poe, you paid Trufant.
Mm-hmm.
And
Alford.
And for some reason, it seems like Deion Jones and the linebacking core, Deion Jones, Debo,
Riley,
they don't seem to be playing up to the level that they were last year. And it honestly, that was towards the end of the year. And it's still early, so I still expect the defense to round into form. But, you know, you were without your top two receivers for part of the game. And for the most part, I don't think we should overreact to this one, because I think it's largely a result of the scheduling. I mean, they were going into a bye week, and I expect them to come back. Hopefully they can come back healthy if they get Vic Beasley back. Who else is out? Jack Crawford. He's out for the year.
He's
right?
out for the year. Upshaw could come back. Schrader definitely coming back, and Rico Allen.
Right. So they get some people healthy. I think the Falcons, I think they will right the ship. I think they have too much talent on both sides of the ball to continue to play the way they have, because it's, you know, it's – they're 3-1, so right. Let's just look at it that way.
Before you go, G, let me say this, and this is one thing that I kind of cringe when you talk about your team. Everyone has an opinion when your team lose, but they always talk about the offense. They always talk about the quarterback because there's only people they know. Falcon missed 13 tackles. 13.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned your linebackers.
Riley and Jones. They did not play up to par. Now, people always say, this is what you hear, Hancock, you know this. Well, you're keeping the defense on the field a lot. No, the defense is keeping themselves on the field because they're not getting off. Buffalo converted 2nd and 17 twice. Am I right, Han?
I was there. Yeah. I saw it.
So – don't just keep jumping to the offense and say the offense is not woo, woo, woo. Hey, it's a team game. 2nd and 17, you are behind the chain. You got to get out of that. You got to get off the field. So don't say that the defense on the field all game or for 9 minutes, 14 plays, well, they on the field because they can't get them off.
Right.
You got to get them off the field.
Yeah.
And Duke Riley.
And this is just
horrible.
This is one of the things that going into the season that I thought, and I said it's different when you're the 100.
Yeah.
Everybody's circling the calendar now to play Atlanta. When they see ATL, that's a big game now. Last year, okay, we're going to play Atlanta. This year, oh, we're going to play Atlanta. So it's a difference when you are the hunted. And one thing that helped the Falcons last year was that they could count on the offense getting them 30 most every game. Mm-hmm. They were going to put up that 30. So what that does is allow you as a defense to play faster, to play after the quarterback, to rush the quarterback. Because if teams can't score with you, they got to go into a passing mode. And when in the NFL, in pro football, if you know what the other team is doing, you have an advantage. So if you put a team in a passing situation constantly, I know, 10 years back and go, don't worry about any draw plays, don't worry about any runs, go get the quarterback. And that allowed Atlanta to play that way a lot last year by putting up all those points. Mm-hmm. This year has been a different story. And like I said, that little growing pain period with Sarkisian and the offense, it's not quite clicking yet.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know, you know, and then not having the two receivers again, I will point to that. But still, even when they were there early and in other games, it's not flowing like it used to.
Yeah, there's no continuity.
Right, and they have to learn how to play. He has to learn what he's doing with them.
Exactly. All right, G, your thoughts on the Falcons and Buffalo?
Well, I know you said that, you know, you don't want to, like, some people may automatically blame the offense, you know, anytime somebody loses. But they did outgain Buffalo. They had more yards. I think the key thing was the turnovers. Matt Ryan threw two interceptions, and there was the fumble that was returned for a touchdown. So you gave him seven right there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is it something with working with Sarkisian, or they're calling, like, you know, unexpected things, and, you know, in certain situations, like I asked DW last week, you know, when they're in the red zone and they throw, you know, like a little curl route to Sanu, it bounces off his hands and it goes for an interception. But they had been running the ball on that drive, and, you know, and then without Julio, it's going to limit the Falcons, really. You know, okay, we're just going to stack up, and, you know, we're going to, like you said, like, we're going to make you throw to somebody else.
Nick Williams, really? Jesus.
There was that jump ball to, I think that was to Gabriel.
Hardy was open in the middle. Well, that's just a bad read by Matt. So, Matt, you get it. You get the blame on that.
Yeah, they got to take care of the ball. And Buffalo ran. They ran it 36 times. So if you're able to run the ball, you're keeping the clock running. Tyrod Taylor only threw it 20 times. Yeah. So it wasn't like he beat you.
Exactly.
But I think it's more the Falcons beat themselves, and they have to do something to get easy throws for Matt Ryan, because he's trying to throw into tight windows and to short, fast guys. and now they have to be your one and two receivers. It hurts.
Now, I will say this, and we're going to move on to Kansas City and the Rams. Matt played the whole year last year, and the five people up front didn't miss a snap.
No matter, that's what I said. The continuity helps. Yeah.
This year, the right guard and the right tackle are already missing. So you're playing with backups already. So the trust in the pass blocking obviously is not there.
Yeah.
And it's been noted that in Matt Ryan's first year with a new offensive coordinator, it's always been a struggle.
That's what I'm saying.
So we have to look to that.
What about the throws out to the running backs? They hit the running backs a lot last year. And I don't know. I want to look back and see if he's – how many times he's going back to his running back swing pass. He used to hit Coleman out of the backfield and Free out of the backfield. And that kind of thing like that allows people – you have to come up with respect. And what that does is open up the field for Julio or Sanu or even your tight end.
Yeah,
so those little passes. Yeah, it's something that they got to.
Yeah, it's something they got to work on. So, let's get to the Rams. Rams in first place, and they are looking good. Scoring the ball a heck of a lot. Todd Gurley looked like he the best running back in the league right now, and he looked like he was the worst running back last year. My God, what a coaching change would do, and the Rams are fast and furious, and actually Gurley is catching the ball out of the backfield. and he's looking like an all-purpose back at this point. He's not only just playing first and second down, he's playing all three downs. So, are the Rams for real is my question.
Offensively, they have picked it up, and I think that goes to what we had said at the beginning. Coming up to make sure that you get offensive people to coach offensive minds to coach offensive people. And they have allowed this kid Goff to come into his own. You can see the comfort, which, you know, how he's playing. He's throwing the ball downfield, he's hitting people. And they're making the game easier for him. That's the biggest thing. And allowing Todd Gurley to be Todd Gurley. He caught all kind of flack after the, you know, coming back last year and having supposedly a down year, but it's tough when you run it at Zeke. It's different when there's no blocking, when there's no creativity on the offense, and you bang your head up against the wall. But that defense they have is legit if you look at the levels they have. They might have the best defensive lineman in the game.
Right, Aaron Donald.
They got a good linebacking core and decent back end and the secondary people, but I think they probably not as dominant on defense as they were going to be under Fisher.
Right.
But because now the offense is kind of like taking the lead.
It's more balanced.
Yeah, so we'll see whether they're for real or not. You know, I think Dallas kind of played to the hand. If you look at the box scores on that, Dallas really beat them in everything except the score. They turned the ball over on a punt return from what – I didn't get to see the game, you know, just from what I saw and what I read. Turned the ball over and not capitalizing on things kind of put them in the way, and they ended up losing the game. But I know at one time they were up at least, I thought, double figures at one time in the game, and the Rams came back. So, you know, I don't know if I can call them for real. They have, you know, come back to be something, somewhat of a good football team, so we'll see. But, you know, they have a test this week.
They got a test this week.
Because I think Seattle is about ready to start playing football again. That was a big win. They showed that they still have the capability of being a good football team. So this week will be a challenge.
Smooth. Think them Rams for real?
Right now, it looks like it. I still question their wins. Wins again, no disrespect, Hero G. Cowboy wins against the Cowboys, 49ers, and... Who's the other winning? The Colts. So I do question those wins, but the personnel moves they made, and most importantly, Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle. They got rid of Greg Robinson, who I think went to Auburn, wasn't it?
Yep.
They got rid of him and brought in a vet in Andrew Whitworth, who's completely changed everything. And you just talked about it, HM3, the Falcons offensive line and how they struggle. You need that continuity up front because it makes everything else that much easier. You brought in an elite receiver who's always hurt, but when he's healthy, he is an elite receiver.
And Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins. And Robert Woods is, I mean, I think for the most part, he's been underrated throughout
his
career.
Both of them from Buffalo. Yeah. Right. Both were at Buffalo.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're like Buffalo West, and I think Todd Gurley is superior to LeSean McCoy. And if you can be out of the league in 1 year, Jared Goff was that last year. He was going to be out of the league right with Jeff Fisher. So, you know, congrats to Sean McVay. That was an excellent hire by the Rams front office. I mean, the kid is only 30 years old. So he and I are the same age, which is crazy. I could have been an NFL coach. But congrats to Sean McVay. I mean, he looks like a genius right now. They have weapons and... It's still too early to tell if they're for real. It's
this week.
Yeah, it's still too early, but I mean, they're averaging 30. They're the Falcons from, they're the Atlanta Falcons of last year, of this year. So,
IG, you, the Rams, they're going to win the West. What?
It's possible. Only because, like, I think Slick Money said this earlier, they give Seattle problems.
They do.
For some reason, no matter how bad they actually are, they always give Seattle problems.
Just like Minnesota give Green Bay problems.
Right. I think one of the most important hires they made, along with Sean McVay being an offensive coach, I mean, he made Kirk Cousins look like a decent quarterback last year, and now he's making Jared Goff, who has a higher ceiling, he turned him to a Pro Bowler this year, possibly. I think one of the most important hires they made is they brought Wade Phillips to be their defensive coordinator, and he still got it.
Yeah.
I He's a guy who just won a Super Bowl with Denver a couple of years ago. He still has, he can still dial something up, and they're going to come after you. They have a lot of talent on defense, a lot more than people realize. And it's starting to come together maybe faster than they maybe expected. And they're kind of fun to watch. I hated to see them beat my Cowboys last week. They probably could have scored more points because they had 21 points came off of field goals. Mm. What if those were touchdowns? We might have lost by 30.
Did they switch to the 3-4 defense under Wade Phillips?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so they
really hadn't been stopping people, though, because they're giving up points. Like I said, that they're still coming. Donald was a late, you know, he came into camp late. Right. So they're rounding in the shape. They're not ready yet.
Well, they're more I think they're more of an opportunistic defense to where they blitz at the right time and they make a lot of key plays. You're not going to see it as far as like points scored because they gave up a lot of points. But you're not going to see it. You're going to see them make like key plays rather than shutting people down.
Right. I mean, the last couple of years they were kind of being touted as one of the better defenses. You might remember back a couple of years ago when San Francisco had the defense and Seattle had the defense, and they had a defense with the Rams and Arizona's defense. Remember, that division was touted as defense, the best defense, you know, units in the NFL.
Right.
And I don't know if they're like you said, maybe they're more opportunistic now than dominant. And we'll see if that changes under Wade. I still think Wade Phillips is actually implementing his system, and they're still learning what he wants from them. So we'll see if that gets better as time goes on. You know, we'll see. But, you know, getting back to what they did to Dallas, if we talk about people being out, Dallas was without Sean Lee, without a couple of cornerbacks. And Hitchens coming back this week. So y'all get up off my Cowboy. We'll be back at full strength with David Irvin getting off suspension. So to go along with my man, we'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Yeah, we 2-2. We still all right. Okay, all right, Cowboy.
All right, real quick before we go to break, Kansas City for real? Real quick?
Yes, Kansas City is for real. I just hope they don't peak too early. We've seen that happen, but they are for real.
Smooth?
Yes, even without Eric Berry.
They for real.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, man, listen, we're going to take a quick 1-minute break. We get back, we're going to break down this Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay game. We're going to wrap this thing up in a few minutes. You listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
And as you said, nobody's checking for Notre Dame because they shouldn't be. All right? They had a starting NFL quarterback at quarterback last year in 1-4. This kid is starting on Sunday in the NFL.
D-Will got some facts today, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, but he started for who?
It is.
A college team.
Listen, but understand me.
He still started for a college team.
That's kind of bad. Don't do the man like that.
The Cleveland University Browns.
Stop it.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back at you. Hey, Joe. Sports superhero Hancock. Jay Smooth is in the building. G Money dropping them old school beats. Sports Roundtable about to wind this thing down. We got the 4 o'clock game this week. Before we even get to that, let's make mention of Derek Jeter real quick. Derek Jeter takes over Florida Marlins. He has 4% stock in the team, and he is running the everyday operation. He's already fired Mr. Marlin, Jeff Conine.
No, he had the Marlins fired before he took over.
Exactly. So he's already coming in making moves. Now the big question is, what would they do with Mr. Stanton? Would you keep him? Would you trade him? Because they saying it's going to be a fire sale. So real quick, Han, would you keep Stanton?
You know how I feel about paying one person that won't help you. He got to go.
Got to go. Smooth.
If you can get a king's ransom for him, which in baseball, I think it might be possible. So if you can, and Mr. Jeter, I am available.
Smoke. I mean, G-Money, you think they should get rid of Stanton? You think Jeter will get rid of Stanton?
He probably has to because, like he said, like in his press conference, like unpopular decisions are coming ahead and they want to rebuild. And Stanton's like, I've been losing my whole career. So, yeah, I think Stanton is willing to be traded or if they release him or whatever.
Yeah, he'll either be a Yankee or a Dodge.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yankee or a Dodge.
Yankee or a Dodge. Easy.
They the one with the money.
All right. 4 o'clock game at Dallas. You got the star in the middle. Green Bay and Mr. A-Rod goes to Dallas. This should be a revenge game for Dallas. I think Dallas are getting some very, very good people back as far as off suspension. And I don't know if Sean Lee is playing or not. But this is the game I think that Dallas has been circling since last year.
I think it's the second one. First game of the year against New York. Remember, New York beat them twice.
Well, yeah, New York beat them twice.
So it was two games on the schedule earlier.
This is one of them that they had already circled. And I think that they played Green Bay tough last year in the playoffs. A couple of mistakes, different things, different, you know, some ball bounces a different way, maybe a different outcome, things of that nature. I think Dez Bryant shows up in this game. There has been talk about him the last couple of weeks about him losing a step, can't get open, pushing off, doing the Michael Irvin, and all this other kind of stuff. But I think with this game being in Dallas, the whole world is watching. They have to figure out a way to show the world that our offensive line is tougher, bigger, stronger. I think Zeke goes over 100 yards. I think Dak does his thing. I think Jason Witten will be a big part of this win this week. And again, watch out for Dez Bryant. I think Dallas wins this game only because this has been circled and they need the momentum going forward.
Well, what I see in this game are a couple of things. Dallas, in order to win, has to get pressure with the front four because the back end and coverage people, the secondary, is suspect. They're very young at those positions, so you're going to have to play a lot of coverage with safeties over the top, especially when you got wide receivers like, what's 87's name?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson and Adams, if he comes back from the concussion he suffered.
Right.
And then you got number 18.
Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb. Thanks. I can't think of their names. But anyway, they got to get pressure with the front four because they're going to use the back seven to cover. If they can't do that and they have to bring pressure with those guys, Aaron Rodgers, as good as he is, even without an offensive line that's going to dissect the defense. So they got to get pressure with the front four. The other thing they have to do is they got to stick with the run. In games that they're getting in trouble, they stop running the ball with Zeke. I don't care if you're getting 2 yards, 1 yard here, 3 yards. Keep giving him the football. Because you see what Kansas City does. If you watch the game with them the last couple of weeks, first half, Kareem Hunt is not busting the runs. He'll just keep hitting it in there. But by the end of the game, he's clicking off a 10-yard or 20-yard or whatever. And that's the way he wears the defense down. That's the same thing that Zeke was able to do last year. Yes, they have a good offensive line, but Zeke pounding on people is what really wore down defenses. And I think they've given up on the run. Even in the Denver game, he had 9 carries. I don't think they stay with it enough. He needs to touch the ball out of the backfield at least 25 times, 20 to 25 times, and at least 5 or 6 catches out of the backfield. You got to feed him. That's what the Rams are doing with talked about Gurley. Yeah. But you have to pound Zeke. You have to. And if they don't, They're going to have problems. They you can't rely on Dez Bryant getting deep because he doesn't do it.
Right.
So that's not – you go throw him the 50-50 ball and see if he makes a catch. But the key will be running Zeke, touching it 25 times at least out of the backfield. You got to give him the football.
Who you got winning?
It's more of a hope for me. But honestly, if I would take the 3 points, but I think Dallas can't pull it out being at home.
Okay. G?
I think the key will be getting Zeke the ball, throwing it to out of a total of 30 touches is possible, but throw it to him, hand it to him, make the defense like focus on him, and I think that will open things up for Dez Bryant. I mean, the Green Bay secondary isn't that good,
right?
They don't get a lot of. Sometimes they get pressure on the quarterback, but I think. Zeke getting some kind of rhythm with him will open things up for Dez, and then also like Butler and
Terrence Williams.
Not Terrence Williams. Bryce Butler. But Bryce Butler, yes, and Beasley, and you know, Witt can still run his 3 yard outs. You know, but the key thing will be Zeke opening things up for Dez and Dak and it's not like Dak isn't trying to get Dez the ball. I think he targeted him 13 times.
He throws him
only five catches for him. So I think they'll get that together. And defensively they can get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, but it's Aaron Rodgers and he makes the strangest plays all the time. So it'll be a matter of just if you get close to him, just do something like grab an arm. Yeah, don't try to hit him. Grab an arm. Grab a jersey. He doesn't like to be touched.
Yeah, touch.
Just tap him, and it'll throw him off.
Who you got winning?
I think Dallas is going to win this. They're at home. Then, and like I said, they circled this game. They thought about that throw to Jared Cook all this time. And he's in Oakland right now, so they don't have to at least don't have to worry about that. I think they're going to pull this out. With the score prediction, I think it'll be a little bit low scoring, probably like 20-17, something like that.
Okay, Smooth.
I think we might be overlooking the fact that the Cowboys they're going into a bye next week, so I think there might be more of a sense of urgency on their part because it looks a lot different going in 3-2 as opposed to 2-3.
Right.
And I think we're overlooking the fact that Ron O'Leary, the offensive lineman, mm-hmm. I think his loss and another guy from Dallas's offensive line, I forget.
Doug Free.
I think we're underestimating that. And I think that's why Zeke and the offense itself hasn't looked the way it looked last year.
Continuity, we talked about it earlier.
Right. The offensive line hasn't been as dominant, but I expect to see a lot of Aaron Rodgers. Because I don't know what's going on with Ty Montgomery. We don't know with the rib situation. We don't know if he's going to play or not. But they can't run the ball anyway. I think they were 28th.
Third running back.
Yeah, third running back. And they were 28th in rushing anyway, 74 yards per game, if that. So I expect to see a lot of Aaron Rodgers. But even though the Cowboys should have a sense of urgency, I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers in the pack.
Okay. Well, we got Minnesota Lynx 30. L.A. 26, 2 minutes and 46 seconds left in the second quarter. And before we leave, we got to do mention that the Braves GM, Campanella, resigned due to international illegalness with players.
Tampering,
and they said he was talking and dealing with a 14-year-old player back then, had an apartment in Miami, him and a roommate. Things of that nature. More to come. They're trying to see if they're going to bring back Snicker, but rumors has it that Drayton Moore, they still thinking about it. This has thrown a little wrench in it, but more likely he may be back. But Drayton Moore of Kansas City may be the Braves' new GM, so look out for that. Shout out to my cousin David for coming through, hanging out with me for a minute, and we want to pray for him and my aunt, RIP Auntie Curly. Of course, love you, and we'll be praying for you, and we're going to stay strong for you. Also, shout out to the crew. Thanks for coming in and doing good work. Shout out to all the loyal listeners. And more importantly, shout out to Harold and say, I know y'all out there listening, and we going to keep it strong. Stay strong, Weezy.
Stay strong, Weezy.
There you go.
Hey, shout out to Miss Superhero. I know you out there listening. Shout out to all my Facebook folks. Y'all's out there talking noise about my Cowboys. Mookie, we'll see. Just keep on listening. Keep calling in. Keep talking. Marty, I see you talking crazy to me. That's all good. Cuz, appreciate y'all. Everybody, it's how y'all keep on down my Cowboys. We will return. No, last year was not a fluke. We back.
A shout out to my mom and dad who listen every week. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm at GPlaysItCool on Instagram. And also visit my website, bythetimeyouhearthis.com. I also want to send a shout out to one of my friends, Tony Trucks, catcher on SEAL Team on CBS. DVR it. It's coming on in like a few minutes if you're listening. Bye.
There you go.
Thanks again, guys, for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure, always fun. Thanks again, audience. Appreciate you guys listening. And that's it for me.
There it is, man. Hey. Each and every week, we do it from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same back channel. Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't.
What color is the White House?
And we out. Peace.